A swing and a long drive. Left center field. Way back to the track. To the wall. Grand slam.
The Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show is presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Swinging a ground ball off the pitcher's glove to the second baseman. Got him! A complete game, 5-0 shutout for Adam Wainwright.
Now, Mike Claiborne and Chris Raby with the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Welcome to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Amron, Chris Raby, along with Mike Claiborne and St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. And Claibs, it is no longer the Hot Stove League Show. Hot Stove is over. It's Countdown to Opening Day. We're getting ready for baseball, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. It's a good time. It's the quiet before the storm, where everybody's starting to really get focused. A lot of players down here already individually working out, so it's time. I mean, we're here, and everybody's, the weather's cooperating. So I'm anxious to see this team for a lot of different reasons. And I think we all kind of felt like last year's spring training was one that was maybe disjointed in some regard. And I'm wondering if they're going to be able to glue that thing back together where everybody feels like their mission is on the same page as everyone else.
Yeah, I hope so. We've got a big show coming up for you tonight. We're going to visit with Derek Gould. Coming up, we'll hear from Bob Nightingale of USA Today. Carlos Martinez joins us, Rick Ankiel, Rick Horton, and also Cardinals General Manager John Mozeliak. And Claibs, of course, earlier this week, the news comes down. The Cardinals penalized in the Astros hacking ordeal. They will give up their first two draft picks, number 56 and 75, the slot money that goes along with those two picks, and also $2 million. More than anything, we can debate the merits of the penalties and everything else. I think that General Manager John Mozeliak and the rest of the organization just happy to move on from this.
I agree with you, Chris. This thing had gone on longer than most people expected it to, and I kind of understand why after I read the unsealed documents over the weekend. But it's something that they can turn the page on, move forward. They've taken steps to secure that this doesn't happen again. And you just have to learn from it and just deal with it and focus on what's important, and that's winning ball games the right way.
Well, Carlos Martinez will have a lot to say about the Cardinals winning ball games this year. Claibs, you had a chance to spend some time with him in the Dominican Republic last week in his hometown as his Tsunami Waves Foundation handed out baseball equipment to youngsters. You visited where he grew up, got to meet his grandmother who raised him. What do you see from Carlos this year, maybe as opposed to the last couple of years, as he continues to grow and embrace his role as a role model and a hero to so many, especially in his hometown? And he also does it while he makes steps on the baseball field.
You know what, Chris? I think the age of maturity will set in. And that doesn't mean he's not going to have fun. But I think we've been around Carlos enough to know he takes his job serious with respect to preparation. And I think that he'll take the next big step of being the leader or one of the leaders on this staff. I mean, his stuff we've already seen enough of. He's hard to hit. But now it's time to take that next step in being one of the guys in the corner of the clubhouse that you can now mentor some of the younger pitchers. Remember, you got some young guys, be it Luke Weaver, Alex Reyes, some of the other young guys that are going to be coming up during spring training. So I expect him to be a little bit more on the leadership maturity side.
Guaranteed tickets to opening day and Cubs weekend games in 2017 by registering today for the opening day and premium flex pack. Selected fans will have the chance to purchase tickets to opening day or a Cubs weekend game, plus a minimum of two additional games in the 2017 season. Register now at Cardinals.com. Got a lot to get to, and we're back with Cardinals General Manager John Mozeliak next to lead things off on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Amron, Chris Raby, Mike Claiborne with you. Cardinals General Manager John Mozeliak joins us in just a moment. Final week to book your spring training vacation to Roger Dean Stadium. Make your reservations at cardinals.com/vacations or call 1-800-892-7687. Well, John Mozeliak joins us on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Amron, as we count down to pitchers and catchers reporting in less than 2 weeks in Jupiter, Florida. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thank you.
You know, I know it's been a crazy week. Obviously, the commissioner's office handing down the penalties and getting some resolution to the situation with the Houston Astros, your first two draft picks and the $2 million fine. Your initial reaction to learning those penalties and moving on from them, and then exactly that, moving on from them, must be nice at some level to have some resolution.
Well, you know, obviously you would like to see nothing happen, but we knew that wasn't realistic. And so knowing that we were going to be penalized, given what happened, just trying to be realistic about it and have to accept it and move on. I do feel like having some closure to this is probably the most important part of it. And even though we're disappointed about losing draft picks, we're disappointed about being fined, we certainly are looking forward to being able to point ahead instead of always having to look back and have to defend it.
John, for you, obviously, anytime you have an investigation, and we've never seen one of this magnitude in the Major League Baseball, what did you come away with that you feel like you can apply to the future, not just as far as safeguards you want to implement, but just the whole process? Because this is something people don't normally go through.
I do think that ever since everybody has learned about what has occurred, not only the Cardinals, but the industry and probably other industries have taken a hard look at how they think about intellectual property, how they think about security, especially cybersecurity, and you know, from my lessons learned, it's been a lot, because given where we were 6-7 years ago to where we are today, a lot has changed. And so when you think about how we make decisions, why we make decisions, and how do we protect that information that allows us to make decisions, is you know, made a 180-degree turn. And so in the end, we're all better off for it, but it was definitely a painful learning exercise.
Did you have a reaction to the tweet that was sent out from apparently Chris Correa's account saying that the commissioner was unresponsive and that he was trying to make efforts to you know, maybe substantiate some of his claims during this process, John, or is it just, again, completely move on?
Well, a couple things. One is a lot of what was written in that letter or tweet was somewhat new information to me, in terms of either I wasn't quite remembering what happened at some period, or I just didn't know. And then more importantly, I think when you think about what was in that, the real response for us is, you know, I think the right answer is at this time we just want to move on and be able to start thinking about tomorrow and not what happened a couple of years ago.
John, with you guys having a chance to sign a lot more international players, does this help lessen the blow of losing two draft choices and also losing the compensatory pick with regard to signing Dexter Fowler?
You know, a lot's been made about that in terms of you know, was that our strategy to be aggressive internationally because we anticipated this? The one thing I think people need to remember is June 15th is when this current July 2nd period closes. And for the most part, the best talent's been signed. And so for us to try to recoup those lost drafts, I think it's going to be difficult. But I think from an overarching strategy, as we think about this year's draft, as we think about next year's international market, and as we think about the following draft, I think that's where we have to you know, roll up our sleeves and try to find ways we can arbitrage these decisions, and hopefully we can find a way to get some talent back in here. But good news is our minor league system is strong. We had a very strong draft last year, and internationally we've been very aggressive this past year.
Cardinals General Manager John Mozeliak with us on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day presented by Ameren. Let me ask you about that draft last year, the penultimate year in which teams were using picks that they gained from players who rejected qualifying offers from leaving. You guys had a couple of those. You also had a unique situation with a player in Delvin Perez falling to you in the 20s. All the prospect lists are coming out now, John. The rankings are coming out. The industry all very, very high on Delvin now that he's been a part of the organization for about 8 months or so. What reports have you gotten from him? What will be the steps for Delvin this spring as he continues to progress and makes his way towards the one-year mark in the club?
Well, like any young player, it's adjusting to professional baseball coming from the amateur world. But I think for him, the key is to continue to work on just his physical maturity and his on-the-field maturity and getting to just understand what the day-in and day-out process of professional baseball is all about. And I think last year was a very eye-opening experience for him. I think he learned a lot. Clearly, never having a spring training under his belt, you're going to have to make adjustments. I think Gary and his staff have done a very good job on trying to balance spring training this year. And so you're going to see a couple different nuances in the minor league camp where you have an early workout and an afternoon workout and allow players to get complimentary rest from time to time. But I think in Delvin's case, it's really about just continuing to show baseball growth and being able to learn the game from a professional side versus the amateur world.
Yeah, when you make tweaks to potentially big league camp, and we've heard that you guys might change the way you do things to some extent, how does that trickle down to the minor leaguers, John?
Well, obviously big league camp, you know, takes precedent in terms of field usage and so forth. But Mike and his staff have been, you know, obviously very gracious in allowing our minor leagues to have the quad, especially late in the afternoon, because as you both you guys know, we run that prospect camp, let's refer to a step camp, while major league camp's going on. And so that's going on the last couple weeks of February. And then once all of minor league camp opens, which is usually early part of March, space and you know, especially field use becomes something of a real desire where we have to balance that out and manage it. But Mike is usually pretty good about giving him that information and giving these players that opportunity to get their work in.
Final question for me, John. As you mentioned in the press conference the other day with regard to taking steps to ensure you don't have a problem like this again, what sort of steps do you take, and do you have maybe a cyber sheriff involved, or do you have some other step that you're trying to take to prevent the lone wolf from getting out there and obviously putting the organization in harm's way?
So a couple things. One is we do have a dual authorization system set up now. So what that would mean is if you actually took my laptop, or maybe more importantly, you had my username and password, to actually get into the system, you would also need to have access to my phone and my phone password, because what ends up happening is as you go in, it will then send a text to the phone, or actually more of a verification to my phone, and you have to be on that and to accept, so reject or decline. And that's one big step difference in where we once were. And we also are monitoring and logging in on a much more sophisticated level. And then we also did spend a lot of time and energy on educating not just the baseball ops, but our entire company on what hacking and cyber protection really means. And so I feel like from, you know, a company compliance standpoint, we're caught up to speed, and hopefully everybody understands the importance of it, and maybe more importantly, the severity of it.
Well, John, we appreciate the time, and I know everyone looking to get down to Florida again, pitchers and catchers reporting in just a couple of weeks. We can't wait to see you in Jupiter. Appreciate you joining us on the Cardinals Countdown opening day.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
We're back with Cardinals beat writer Derek Gould next on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
Cardinal Countdown to Opening Day, brought to you by Ameren, continues with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Derek Gould has been covering the Cardinals for a number of years. So, Derek, my first question to you is, you've covered trades, you've covered firings, you've covered hirings. Now you're covering investigations. We finally got a definitive answer to what the punishment would be for the Cardinals. So what are your thoughts about the whole process, including the punishment?
Yeah, I think a lot of us fans, media, team included, got an eyeful of the difference between covering a baseball story and covering a federal investigation, and sort of the announcements or non-announcements or information or non-information that comes from that. You know, Major League Baseball was a part of that too. I mean, they had to wait for sentencing. They willfully waited until sentencing to launch their baseball investigation. But I think this is unlike anything baseball has seen before. And in the end, I think the big takeaway from this is it's long overdue that baseball catches up with itself. Its policies, its employment policies, its employment movement, employee movement from team to team, and all of those rules and bylaws that govern that need to catch up with the data-driven, you know, era that we're in. For teams, especially the more analytical teams who have such valuable algorithms and who feel that they have cracked the code on evaluations and valuations of players, for those teams, their data is invaluable. And baseball for a long time ran its business like it always has, and that has to change. This should force baseball into the modern, hacking and data era.
And, you know, one of the things about that, this isn't like a trade where a guy gets traded to another team and all of a sudden he knows what the signs are, he knows the inner workings of a ball club. This is a whole lot different because there's a lot more at stake, especially financially, for these organizations and the time and effort that's put into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it is, you know, these teams have invested a lot of money either in the people or the actual hardware tech. In fanning out, they invest a lot of money in scouts. And I talked to Terry Ryan a couple of years ago because you'll recall when the news broke of this, Cardinals hit the road and played in Minnesota. And I talked to Terry Ryan, who was the general manager of the Twins at the time. I asked him about that, and he said, "Well, when scouts leave or an assistant general manager leaves, you can't ask them to leave their brain behind. What they learned here, what they did well here, they're taken to wherever they go next." That's part of why they're hired. Intellectual property is different than intellect. And baseball had to recognize how to separate those two. I think we all kind of were, as we were covering this, not just the hacking, but also just the evolution of these teams and the departure of Luno. Heck, the arrival of Jeff Luno and Sig Madel to the Cardinals. I mean, you've been around as long as I have, and what a big deal that was 13, 14 years ago for them to throw such a commitment behind this and then everything that followed. Let's not ignore how much of Cardinal history has been influenced here recently by the hiring of Jeff Luno, from the friction that it eventually created and the firing of Walt Jocketty to now the seizure of draft picks and the $2 million paid to Houston Astros, where, oh, by the way, Jeff Luno is the general manager. I mean, it's been a fascinating kind of stretch here. But you're right. I mean, you know, this is where baseball is right now, and a lot of it has to do with the investment, but also the saving that teams are seeing in their acquisition of players, the better understanding of how to build a team. They're less emotional decisions, more pragmatic decisions. This is the hedge funding of baseball. And everything that goes into it.
I don't know about you, but when the documents became unsealed, I read them.
Yeah.
And then I decided I needed to read it again. And then I read it a third time. And it almost came to the point where I said to myself, I can understand why this investigation took so long, because there were some things that you would just say to yourself, well, wait a minute. Are you sure? When a guy goes into somebody's security system and hacks them 48 times that we know of, you have to wonder, you know, is he the only one? And was he the only one that knew
right.
about it? And apparently they felt like he was. He was the ultimate lone wolf. That's how he's been portrayed. Your thoughts on the delay, did you look at it in the same light where you raised questions of your own?
Oh, in the length of it? I heard over and over again, Mike, how difficult it was for investigators, whether they were internal investigators, MLB investigators, or federal investigators, that things just became so difficult when it got to the point where the Ethernet cord was plugged into the computer, that everything you could get from interviews, you could get from, you know, some documents, but everything got that much harder when it got to accessing the hard drive, as it rightly probably should have. Major League Baseball got stymied in that way. I don't know what access the private investigator the Cardinals hired was offered, but I would imagine it was maybe slightly more, certainly at the Hopton Major League Baseball investigators believed that they would get. And still, neither of those sides were able to get much from Houston as far as in internal for them other than what the Astros were willing to offer up. I mean, even an attempt, like you said, in those documents to subpoena records that were not provided by the Astros was rejected by the judge. So you get within those documents, you spelled it out well. You get the intricacy of the investigation because of how many threads they had to pull. I think you'll recall at this time that, you know, they were trying to find the servers that things were being rerouted from because of the masking that Chris Correa did to hide where he was logging in from. I know that at one point in time, remember, they went to Busch Stadium to pull out some computers. They traced one computer back to a townhome in Jupiter and had to then check the records as to who was living there, who was on the lease, who could have possibly been present at that time, and then they had to vet all that. I mean, I think this is a – and this goes back to what I was saying about covering a federal crime and not a baseball story. This was treated as corporate espionage. And so if you erase the baseball aspect from it and sub in big business, you know, pick a big business, sub in any big business X name, and you recognize, well, goodness, they wanted to go through every tributary to find out who knew what when, who knew how much when, and who was involved in it, and had to get every little single scrap that they could, even if it took weeks, months to do so.
We're visiting with Derek Gould. He's been covering the Cardinals for a number of years. Normally it's been stuff on the field. But, Derek, one of the most interesting things about this, and I say this to all young people who aspire to someday be in the business of media, whether you're a baseball – well, you know what? I think they would rather just have the job right off the bat, and that way they don't have to worry about, you know, starting off somewhere small or anything. But
I don't think our reputation is all that good these days, but let's go forward and see if we can inspire some kids in this conversation.
We'll try and get them on the right page. But for you, in covering this event, and I say this to young people, you may want to cover a pro sports team. You may want to cover a college team, but there may come a point where you have to use your reporting skills. And it may not have anything to do with batting averages or earned run averages,
right,
but the reporting of who, what, when, where, and why. Those things don't go away no matter what the sport or no matter what the subject is.
No, I mean, I'll try to tell the story quickly, but, you know, when I was at Mizzou, my intent was to go in to cover politics and particularly courts, you know, and district courts and Supreme Courts and things like that. I was fascinated by that, always was fascinated by civil liberties, precedences that could be set by courts. And I recognized, you know, just like everybody, that you got to work your way up. I wasn't going to graduate from Mizzou and go straight to Adam Lichtek's job there covering or Linda Greenhouse's job, I guess it was at the time, covering the Supreme Court for the New York Times. I had to work my way up. And I learned there at Mizzou, one of the ways that you're going to have to work your way up was doing cops in courts and GA beats. And so I did that there, and I covered a drunk driving death. And it was one of the more difficult stories I've ever covered still to this day. Somebody died, and they talked to the sister of the person who was killed, talked to friends of the person who was killed. And I was told, you know, and this sentence hangs with me and still echoes in my ear, that the family found out that the young man had been killed and then received the first RSVP for his wedding that same day. And, I mean, that thing stays with you. And I thought, you know, I'd like to travel. I really enjoy traveling. I want to cover sports. Let me go over to the treehouse. Let me go over to the playpen that is sports. They've offered me a chance there often. This is the time. I need to commit to this. I want to be a baseball writer. Let's see if that's possible. And I left, you know, news behind thinking, all right, well, I'm going to cover bright green pastures and athletes running around them and dunking contests and trade rumors and all types of stuff. And, you know, I am glad that I had that background of covering news, because sports is news. And I have had the unfortunate responsibility of covering two deaths on the Cardinals beat, both, you know, involving drunk driving, and I've covered a murder for hire case with the Blues, covered collective bargaining agreements, strikes, all this. I've been forced to, as you know, plunge into a medical school libraries to try to understand what the surgery was that Chris Pronger was having that was unlike anything a hockey player had ever attempted to have before. And then here recently trying to understand what Seth Maness has had and whether or not that's an advancement for Tommy John. Sports has given me the opportunity to sit ringside, if you will, for a lot of history, to see amazing things that people will never forget.
That's Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Derek, as always, we thank you for your time, and we'll see you in Jupiter before you know it.
All right, look forward to it, Mike. Thanks.
Rick Horton joins us next on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back in a chat with Ricky Horton in a moment on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Missing baseball season, Cardinals Nation and Ballpark Village is open 7 days a week. Stop by for a bite to eat or relive some of the Cardinals' greatest moments by going through the Cardinals Museum. For more information, visit CardinalsNation.com. Along with Mike Claiborne, I'm Chris Raby.
It's Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, brought to you by Ameren. And, of course, one of the Cardinal broadcasters you'll hear during the season is our own Ricky Horton, who I just love talking to, whether it's fantasy camp or Cardinal baseball. He's always got something positive to say. Ricky, I hope your day is going well, sir.
My day is going well, Claves. Always good to visit with you. And I thought for a minute I was the only one counting down to spring training. Evidently, other people are as well.
Oh, no, there are plenty of people. Yours truly decided to come early to make sure the grass was green, so I can report on that. And all is good in Jupiter, Florida. But there's so many things going on. We finally have the MLB punishment behind us now, and everybody can kind of look forward to the upcoming season. And I thought it was important to get this out of the way well before spring training started. So I don't think it'll be a distraction. I think the Cardinals have been out in front on this and being able to address it with whoever wanted to inquire about it. And I think it's going to be a non-story by the time we get to Jupiter.
Well, I think certainly it's an important thing that you got to deal with it. You can't just let it go. You can't just sweep it away. But, you know, timing does matter. And, you know, I'd thought that there was going to be some results on that even as early as just after the World Series. But, you know, it happened when it happened. And, you know, people have said their piece, and I think, you know, that the franchise is strong enough to overcome, you know, this pretty big bump in the road. And you know, baseball's like that, Claves. You think about the things that baseball's been through collectively, not just as teams, but, you know, the scandals and the Black Sox, of course, one of the major ones, but the steroid era. You know, there's bumps in the road, and, you know, we're people, and not everything's perfect in our game or in our city, and you just have to move on from it.
I think more importantly, it's kind of a wake-up call that baseball's got to get in line with making sure they protect their property internally. As I was saying to Derek Gould, this isn't about a guy getting traded, and then all of a sudden he knows what the other team's signs are or the mannerisms or what they like to do in certain situations. This is a little bit more complex than that, and he called it corporate espionage, and I think that's a good way to look at it. And it's something we as baseball fans never really put into the equation of when we go to the ballpark, how things happen along that line.
Well, you know, if you're building defense systems at a major engineering corporation, of course, we all would expect there to be those kind of rules and laws. But baseball has evolved to being such a big business, number one, but also so technological, number two, that you end up dealing with intellectual property conversations. I mean, can you imagine telling Frankie Frisch or Ty Cobb that we're going to have intellectual property conversations about the game of baseball? I mean, that would be absurd. It's like, well, hey, we talk baseball, we move on. What's the big deal? But technology and the money in the game have really, you know, made it a different deal right now. And I think MLB is trying to be out in front of all that. And, you know, as with any business now, technology gets so crazy, you've got to find ways to control it and manage it well.
Well, you know, we've come a long way from the time where the front office consisted of former players who were scouts and making sure you have the season set up right for spring training. Now it's filled with analysts, with laptops, and security experts because that's where we're headed.
Yeah, you know, the game's interesting, too. And there's a lot that we've learned from the whole sabermetric community and the analysts and the guys that got their 4.0s from Harvard and Yale. I mean, we've learned a lot, I think, about you know, how to take the statistics and scout with them, and how to use the data to defend with them, and I think there's some good things in that, but you know, it still has to be in the hand of the professional, the surgeon, the person that knows the game better. And you know, I like the blendedness of the way the Cardinals approach it. I think you've got people who are just tried and true baseball people, and that's what they know, and they can feel when something's right, not right on the field. They can look at a defense. They can look at a pitcher's eye. They can look at the way a guy's approaching an at-bat and see something that other people can't see. And you need baseball people around, but you also need somebody that, you know, has that algorithm and that Excel spreadsheet and tells you what to do with some of those insights that you have.
As Mike Shannon would say, algorithm. Now, there's a word you don't hear in the dugout very often.
Didn't he used to play for the Pirates?
He played parts of three seasons with them. So, Ricky, let me ask you this question. We're a couple of weeks away from spring training. So, first question, how did you prepare as you got closer to spring training? And I know the workout programs are different and things of that nature. But for this year, considering how I think most will admit that last spring training was a little disjointed, what are you going to look for when you first get here?
Well, I'm going to look for guys, you know, connecting with a purpose. I think that's what you always look for in spring training. If you look for guys that are, you know, coming together in some way, and of course you look for helpingness, that's always a factor. And so, you know, you can't ever be sure, Claves, and it's something we just take for granted, that you show up in spring training and your arm feels the way it did the year before. It just doesn't happen. I mean, sometimes you get stiffer, you just get older, and, you know, we all know that you get older, but in baseball you get old fast. So you look just for people to be healthy and you know, bounce back, ready to go. And you also look for guys that are, you know, just seem to have that mental edge. So I always look for that. I saw Colton Wong down in Florida, and that man is possessed already. And it's, you know, I saw him in January down in Jupiter, and he's working out like crazy. And that, I like to see that. And yes, you can overwork, but when a guy's on a mission, typically that ends up with good results.
We're visiting with Ricky Horton. You hear him on the Cardinals Radio Network. Ricky, for you, as you look at this ball club, a lot of things have to come together, I think, and I think we're anxious to see how spring training unfolds. You remember how you were in spring training when things first got started? Were you anxious, or did you feel like it was a different day for you?
Well, you know, when my time in spring training, we all remember Albert going to spring training every year and saying, I'm working to make the team. And we would all laugh and say, okay, well, that's not going to, you don't have to worry, Albert. You hit, you know, 30 home runs last year and drove in 100 for the fifth year in a row. But I think Albert meant that, and that's how he prepared. Now, I meant it too, but it was true. I mean, I had to be ready. I had to make the team every year. I never was the guy that you just thought, well, you're going to be here. I had work to do. And so my approach to spring training was to be competing from day one in everything I did. I wanted to be ahead of people. You know, there was a time, Claves, where you remember that pitchers weren't even throwing breaking balls early in spring training. They just wanted to just go out and get loose and throw fastballs and changeups. Well, I was trying to work on mid-season form right away because I didn't want to have a bad number anywhere. I wanted people to see the best of me as quickly as possible to maybe stick in their head. So when it came down to cutting people, they thought twice about me.
So, in essence, you wanted to be in mid-season form in the early part of the season to make sure you were around for the mid-season.
Yeah, otherwise the mid-season would be, I'd be in AAA somewhere. You know, the other thing I always thought of, Claves, was I read the book Ball 4 many times in college, and the Jim Boughton book, and one of the things that was in that book that Jim Boughton talked about, Whitey Ford always felt like you have to come to spring training with a tan, because you look thinner and you look more in shape and you look healthier. So I actually literally remembered that. So I'd try to get to Florida about 2 weeks before everybody else, do a little running outside, get the tan going so people would say, huh, boy, you look healthy. So, hey, you do anything you can to get it in.
Hey, before we get out of here, I'd be remiss not to compliment you and Joe Pfeiffer and Scott Terry and all the people within the Cardinal organization who put on what I think is one of the great events the Cardinals offer to their fans, and that's the Fantasy Camp. I know there are a lot of guys, and we've had a few women who have been part of it. It's one of the great experiences, and you're one of the smartest guys because you don't throw all day like Scott Terry. You don't want to play in the field. You just commission, and, right. and you've done such a good job at it. But with Joe and his staff and you and Scott Terry, I always tell people this is one of the true bucket list ventures people should try.
It's a phenomenal experience, and I say every year I go, Claves, that it's good for my soul because I laugh. And I experience baseball in a way that is deep and, you know, profound to me. It kind of connects me. You get the uniform back on. You're with your guys, and you get to be with 20 former players and Hall of Famers, and you know Suter was there, and I mean I can go say the names for forever in terms of the great names, Ozzie and Whitey Herzog and Steve Carlton, Tim McCarver, all those guys down there for this camp. It's just a phenomenal experience. And I don't think, in 17 years that we've been doing this camp, I don't know of one person that left there and said they didn't have a great time. So, I mean, it really is fun, not just for the campers, but for the former players. And it's a highlight of my year, and just I look forward to it every spring.
Ricky Horton, always good to visit with you, sir. Can't wait for you to get down here to work on your tan because you just never know.
I'll be ready, Clay.
Let's take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one of Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Guaranteed tickets to Opening Day and Cubs weekend games in 2017 by registering today for the Opening Day and Premium Flex Pack. Selected fans will have the chance to purchase tickets to Opening Day or a Cubs weekend game, plus a minimum of two additional games in the 2017 season. Register now at Cardinals.com. Chris Rabe and Mike Claiborne back with you as we wrap up hour number one of Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Thank you to John Mozeliak, Derek Gould, and Rick Horton for joining us in the first hour of the program. We'll kick things off in hour number two with Bob Nightingale of USA Today, getting a national perspective on hacking, and then we'll hear from Carlos Martinez and Rick Ankiel. All that coming up in the second hour of the show. Alex Ferrario, our executive producer this week, as we get closer and closer to baseball. With Mike Claiborne, I'm Chris Rabe. It's Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. 1 hour in the books. Hour number two next. Coming up after this, don't go anywhere. We'll be back on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.
A swing and a long drive. Left center field. Way back to the track. To the ball. Grand slam.
The Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show is presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network.
We're going to get a ground ball off the pitcher's glove to the second baseman. Got him! A complete game, 5-0 shutout for Adam Wainwright.
Now, Mike Claiborne and Chris Rabe with the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Welcome back to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Chris Rabe and Mike Claiborne with you on the Cardinals Radio Network. We'll get a national perspective to kick off hour number two from Bob Nightingale here in just a moment. The Cardinals Kids Club is the exclusive fan club for Cardinals fans age 13 and under. Tremendous membership benefits include two tickets to a 2017 Cardinals home game, an invite to a members-only autograph party at Busch Stadium, and much more. For more information, visit cardinals.com/kidsclub. Bob Nightingale of USA Today joins us on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Bob, how are you?
Doing great. How about yourself, Mike?
We're doing very well. Looking forward to spring training in a couple of weeks. But before we get to some baseball, obviously the penalties being handed down from the commissioner's office to the Cardinals earlier this week, $2 million, a couple of draft picks. And you write that you think the stain to the Cardinals' image worse than the penalties. Tell us a little bit about your thought process and your reaction to what came down.
Yeah, I mean, obviously $2 million doesn't mean much to anybody in baseball. You know, the clubs are making so much money these days. And, yeah, they lost two draft picks, their first two. But, you know, not the big one because that was forfeit already. And they signed Dexter Fowler. But I just think the stain of the organization, and the Cardinals are the model organization of all baseball. And even the Cubs will tell you that. And just have such a pristine image. And it's just kind of that taints that. You know, it'll go away. People forget about it. But it'll be there for a while. And that probably stings more than anything else.
Bob, in your opinion, why do you think it took so long for Major League Baseball to hand down a decision on the Cardinal punishment?
I think it's way way for the Fed to do all the dirty work, even after sentencing. Waited to see, what more information they could gather. And they went through everything. So then the MLB stepped in. But those records weren't unsealed until late last week. So I think they could have done it 6 months ago, but what difference does it make? You know, the draft was already over and everything else. So no big deal. I just think they wanted to wait as long as possible. The last thing they wanted to do was make a judgment, render a decision, and find out, hey, a few people knew about this besides Korea. And they couldn't find a soul, and neither could the federal government.
Bob, what kind of precedent does it set for Major League Baseball that the Astros are the beneficiaries of what the Cardinals are having to give up? And how do you think some rival clubs and rival executives, especially maybe in the AL West and in the American League, feel about that?
Well, the AL West people can't be happy at all. I mean, the Astros are already going to be a bear this season. And, you know, one of the preseason, you know, contenders at least to be in the World Series. And now this, you know, just helps them more. Especially with the draft picks. Now I think they have like five of the top 94 picks in next year's draft, plus a couple million bucks doesn't hurt either. So, as a precedent, it's like, okay, you know, we're going to make it tough. It'll probably be a lot tougher the next time. But I really don't believe, I may be naive, but I really don't believe it'll be the next time. Not so much the punishment that Major League Baseball gave out, but just the punishment that the Feds gave out against Chris Correa. I mean, who wants to spend 46 months in federal prison? You know, life in baseball is over. And let's face it, I mean, who's going to hire him with his background now? So he may be close to being unemployable.
Well, maybe he can work for the government in trying to catch people like himself. But the other issue here is, Bob, with the fine and suspensions and everything else that's taking place, do you think if somebody else crosses a line, be it the front office, that the punishment will be more severe? Because I think this was kind of the foundation, the baseline on where we can work from. And everybody knows this is pretty serious stuff. So does Major League Baseball now have a chance to really take the gloves off and slap somebody around should they try something of this nature again?
Yeah, and the federal government made it pretty clear, hey, we're not tolerating this. We don't care if it's a prank or we're looking something up just for fun. This is serious business, and you're going to go to prison for a long time. So I can't think that anybody would be stupid enough, even if you knew somebody's password, to dare try this. You know, let's be honest, too. All the clubs are smarter now. You know, they're changing passwords a lot more. You can figure out who gets new accounts. So I'm really surprised this kind of stuff hasn't happened before.
How about the statement, Bob, from Chris Correa? And he has said and said in a tweet that was, I guess, sent from his family yesterday that Major League Baseball was not committed to fair and just sanctions, saying that the Astros benefited from unauthorized access to Cardinals databases from 2012 to 2014. Is this just maybe side talk out of a guy who has proven to be a criminal? Is there any substantiation you think that could be found to these? And are you maybe surprised that there hasn't been more traction to this stuff? It's just maybe a tweet from prison. What are your thoughts on what Correa said?
Yeah, I don't think that people can believe him. I mean, that's what he said from the outset when he got arrested and everything else. But, you know, hey, the feds do a good job, you know, a lot better job than Major League Baseball in his investigations. And I'm sure they're tracking everybody. So, okay, let's see if there's some proof to this. Let's see if it was the espionage going back and forth. You know, it's on no other wrongdoings. And, you know, they have some FBI and everybody else involved. So if they couldn't find anything else, it's a little tough to substantiate Korea's claims.
Bob, a final question for you. We've heard about the safeguards that the Cardinals are implementing. What is Major League Baseball going to try and do? Because between this situation and we saw the doctoring of the medical documents with regard to San Diego, is Major League Baseball going to keep a closer eye on these things? Because while it may be one, it may be two, we don't want this to be something that everyone feels like they can take advantage of because there's no security in place.
Yeah, I just think the security is going to get more and more. I mean, with the waiver wire, those names get all leaked out now. Too many people have access to that kind of stuff. And I think they'll really start cracking down. You know, I'm surprised that there hasn't been widespread espionage going on as far as that sort of thing. So I think now it's going to be a lot tougher for people to do that and a lot more stupid for people that actually leak out that information and talk about it. Just because they're afraid their baseball career could be over.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today joining us on the Cardinals countdown to opening day. Again, read him in the USA Today and online. Find him on Twitter at B Nightingale. Bob, we appreciate it, man. We'll see you soon.
Sounds great. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Carlos Martinez visits with Mike Claiborne when we come back on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day. Chris Raby alongside Mike Claiborne this week on the program. Claves is going to visit with Carlos Martinez here in just a moment. Guaranteed tickets to Opening Day and Cubs weekend games in 2017 by registering today for the Opening Day and Premium Flex Pack. Selected fans will have the chance to purchase tickets to Opening Day or a Cubs weekend game, plus a minimum of two additional games in the 2017 season. Register now at Cardinals.com. Let's hand it over to Mike Claiborne.
Well, we've got a chance to visit with Carlos Martinez of the St. Louis Cardinals. And, Carlos, first of all, you had a chance to be part of the Cardinal Cruise for the first time. So how did things go for you?
I think it was so fun because I'm feeling with my wife, I'm feeling like my second family. So thank you for the Cardinal fans. Appreciate it. Thank you for coming. And I was so fun. God bless everyone.
We had a chance to go to your hometown. We saw where you grew up. We saw where you live now. And we had a chance to see you give something back to a lot of kids who looked like you 10 years ago. How important was that for you?
Yeah, it's very important because the fans don't know how much they help a lot of kids and a lot of family too, and because they look like me when 10 years ago when I was poor, and I want to help a lot of family in my country and in San Luis too. But this cruise was very important for me. And I want to see next year more people, more fans who's come to help me a lot.
You had a really good year on the mound. You were honored at the Baseball Writers Dinner. Have you started to think about this upcoming season? Because as you grow, the team goes.
I think we have a beautiful team this year because, you know, we got new guys, we got new experience, and we got a new mentality. So we got a lot of experience, you know, so from last year. So last year was a very important year.
One of the things I know you take a lot of pride in is your offense. And it's like when you're in the lineup, there's nine good hitters in the lineup when you pitch that particular night.
So it's very important for me because I want to help me and want to help the team. So when I go to the play to hit it, so I think I want to help the team because I want to win, you know, and that's very important for me.
Spring training will be here before you know it. Gracias, senor, and have a great season.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Mike Claiborne, that's Carlos Martinez, who you had the chance to obviously spend some time with last week. We talked at the top of the show a little bit about his maturity and, again, embracing not just his role as perhaps the ace of this team, but also as a leader in the clubhouse. How have you seen that transpire?
Well, you know what? I think it's just his approach. He learned a lot last year. You know, that was a team that with all the adversity and then finishing out of the playoffs was something new for him. And I think when you have a situation like what Carlos went through, while he may have pitched well, I'm sure he looks back and says, you know, if I'd have been better on one particular night, we would be in postseason play. That's how he kind of thinks. And I think he's a guy that is a long-term investment for the Cardinals with respect to that I feel that there's a trust there now, where at one point, if you go back 2 years ago, Chris, you know, they thought he should have been the guy traded instead of Shelby Miller. At least some people did. I think we've learned that turned out probably not only in Carlos's favor, but certainly the Cardinals. So with that said, you got some young guys on this staff that he's going to have to work with. I think it's going to be as deep of a pitching staff as we've seen going into spring training in a long, long time when you look at the guys who have big league innings under their belt.
Don't you love the personality, too? Like, I know everyone talks about the Cubs as this crazy, fun-loving team, but the Cardinals have some of that, too, which I think is a very, very good thing. And for the most part, it almost starts with Carlos Martinez.
Oh, I agree with you. I think he's one of those likable guys in all corners of the clubhouse. And in this game, while it's hard to play, let's make no mistake, this is a very difficult game to play at this level. You still have to try and find a way to have fun and have a good time. Some teams display it a little differently than others, but I think you've got to have people who keep it loose. I was talking to Carlos about his offense and the fact that when he's in the lineup, they got 9 good hitters. And, you know, he on the cruise kept reminding Mike Matheny that he used to play shortstop. So if you need him, he's available. So a guy who's fun-loving, but a guy who takes his job serious when he steps across that white line, and that's what you want.
You know, I will say, though, after watching the display last year, I'm not sure they'll call on him as a pinch runner anymore this season.
No, that's not going to – you listen, that's a good point you make. He may have to take some extra time in spring training on base running drills, and I'm not sure if that's going to be enough time. We're only here for 5 or 6 weeks, but you're right. You don't want to see him get killed on the base pass, but something that, again, he was able to walk away from feeling, you know, it was funny, but he knows that, you know, it's something he wants to be better at. And that's something that I appreciate with him with regard to his effort.
All right. From one great athlete to another, Rick Ankiel joins us next on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day. Chris Raby along with Mike Claiborne. And we're back in a moment on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Back on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Rick Ankiel joins us on the program. Rick, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing very, very well. We know you guys have been down in Jupiter, another fantasy camp in the books. What was it like? You have a good time? And did you come out victorious? How'd the team do?
I didn't win any, but I came out victorious with laughter. It's nonstop comedy. It's pretty funny.
Rick Ankiel with us. Rick, when you get all those guys back together and when you get some guys down there, whether it's returners or first-timers, what are some of the reactions like? And what's it like for you as a former player to not just be able to put on the uniform again, but be around former Cardinals and be around maybe some of the campers, both first-timers and veterans?
Oh, it's awesome. You get everybody together. And first of all, I mean, everybody puts on the uniform, and that's just a special bonding in itself. And then you just, you know, I think one of the things, too, is everybody gets out there and you still think you're young and still think you got it. I mean, that's former legends and the people coming down to play. You know, you're not as young as you think you are anymore, but it's so much fun. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Rick, as you look around Major League Baseball right now, is this as talented a crop of young guys as you can remember that have come in around the league and have not just played at a really, really high level, but have taken over as kind of faces of the game and faces of Major League Baseball? How would you kind of evaluate and rate the young talent right now around the league?
You know, yeah, absolutely. I think social media is a big part in that. I think baseball's done a really good job of really going out and trying to sell the individual player, because I think that's what people relate to. And I, you know, even across all sports, I mean, I think we're faster, stronger than we've ever been in all sports that there are. But yeah, it's exciting to watch. I mean, you look at all these young guys pitching; everybody's throwing 100. It seems like every bullpen out there has 3 guys that can hit triple digits, which is crazy when you think about it. And then you got these guys in the box that are turning it around like, you know, it's not even a thing to them. So, yeah, it's definitely exciting for me. You know, everybody else I talk to, all the former players that I, you know, that I spend time with, we all feel the same way. I mean, it's a fun time to watch right now.
What's changed as far as pitchers and the velocity? The Cardinals last year had a knack for 7th, 8th, 9th inning. There are numbers across baseball compared to other teams in all offensive categories were at the top of the heap. And a lot of times, like you said, you're facing 2-3 guys maybe throwing triple digits or throwing high 90s from both sides of the rubber. How has that changed? Why do you think that's changed? And what goes into a team that's able to maybe handle that?
You know, I think just training. You know, science has gotten smarter and really been able to figure out, you know, what makes guys be able to do that. And I think, you know, nowadays when you look at sports, especially baseball, where a long time ago, I think people would show up to spring training to get in shape. And now it's a year-round thing. I mean, if you're not training year-round, you're behind the eight ball. Yeah, you know, I don't. These guys coming in and having to hit those guys. Good luck. Doesn't seem like it's an easy task when I look at it. But you know, certainly some of the guys have made it look easier than it is. That's for sure.
Rick has a book coming out, "The Phenomenon: Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life," out in April. Rick and Tim Brown of Yahoo. Rick, what was the process like writing the book, and what's it been like since it's been finished?
It's been good. The whole process, you know, it was long. It took over 3 years. But it's neat to go back and just kind of see who you were, you know, a long time ago versus who you thought you were, and kind of get different people's accounts on on those parts of your life. Here going forward, it's kind of be the, you know, will be the time for media and trying to get spark interest for the book. And, you know, it's exciting. I mean, there was a lot of interest, obviously. Everybody who came down for Cardinal Camp were big supporters. And you know, it was nice to see everybody behind it and excited to read it. And, you know, I think it's going to be fun.
Rick, this is a book I've been waiting for ever since the day you set foot on the field, because it's the most dynamic story we may have seen in sports, not just baseball. And I'm glad you're writing the book. But take us back to that day. You're drafted in 97, and 2 years later you're making a big league start. A whirlwind time for you. But when did you think things started to come unloose for you, whereas you had to basically get out of line and start your career over again?
I would say 2001, you know, when I came into spring. You know, obviously I started with the gifts and whatnot in the end of 2000 there. But coming into 2001, you know, it was just such a grind. You know, every day you wake up and you keep telling yourself this is going to be the day that, you know, that I become me again and that I figure it out. And there's just so many ups and downs. You know, I think really in that spring training, I mean, obviously I talk about in the book a little bit. You know, you just start to, it just starts to seem like, when is it going to happen? You know, when am I going to figure this out? And nobody can give you an answer. And it's just such a tough thing to go through.
Rick Ankiel with us. Again, the book is The Phenomenon. You can pre-order on Amazon out April 18th, 2017. Rick, what did you learn, not just about yourself, but what did you learn that you're able now to pass on to younger guys in maybe the off-the-field aspects, the mental aspects of the game and your role and the role that you've had over the last years with the Washington Nationals, the mental side of things?
I just, you know, pay attention. You know, pay attention to what you're doing. When you're out there playing catch, don't go through the motions. Have an idea of what you're trying to do when you're playing catch with somebody. You know, try to hit them in the shoulder, hit them in the hat, pick something on them, pick a spot when you're out there, work on it. You know, you can only throw so many times. Don't leave it to just when you're throwing bullpens. Obviously, I'm just talking about the pitchers here, but don't leave it to when you're just throwing bullpens. When you're out there, just, I mean, you can have fun, but have fun and be serious about it. Understand what you're doing.
You know, you talk about having fun. At one point, the game wasn't fun for you, but what made you say, you know what, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to do it on my terms. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to make it all the way back to the big leagues. What lit your fire?
You know, after going through the control problems for the 5 years there from 2000 to 05, you know, I came back and pitched out of the bullpen in 04. 05, what it took for me to get it right, to throw strikes for me, was all-day mental exercises, all-day mental training. It just never felt like I could be myself. I wasn't joking around with guys. I wasn't my normal happy-go-lucky self, and I just couldn't be because I was constantly focusing on how to get myself right for the game. You know, when you stop and I try to reflect and then look for, at that time, you try to reflect and look forward and say, well, you know, what is this going to be like moving forward over the next 5, 10 years, whatever it's going to be. I just got to the point where I understood, you know, this isn't going to be the life. You know, this isn't a life. This isn't the life I want. I need to make a change. And once that happened and the outfield thing came about, I just felt like this giant weight was lifted off my shoulders. And then the challenge of, you know, everybody, no, it seemed like nobody in the world was giving me a shot to make it back as an outfielder. And I think, you know, part of that fueled me too, you know, just the part, okay, this is fun again. I don't have to do mental training all day and worry about if I'm going to be able to throw a strike today. It was more about, all right, I'm going to go out there now. I got to try to hit up the guys that I was just, you know, friends with and on their side. Then all that just became fun. And it became a challenge, and then off I went.
How long does it take, Rick, to embrace some of those struggles? And maybe it's still a process, but even as an outfielder and after your playing career is over, to go back and say, all right, these are issues and obstacles that I dealt with, but they've helped make me who I am, and I have some wisdom that I can pass along to people.
You know, I think after I went through the pitching stuff, you know, what I realized, you know, even when I switched over to be a hitter, I'm like, nothing is ever going to be as hard as that. You know, that, for, to me, anyway, that was just such a mental, you know, it felt like a mental prison. It just felt like you could never get out of it. So with the outfield stuff, we talked about the outfield struggles and you know, all that stuff. To me, I was like, okay, well, this is easy. This is easy compared to that. And moving forward for the rest of my life, I feel like I've been tested, right? So I don't feel like there's anything that I can walk up against that I don't feel like I can handle. So for that, when I look back, that I'm thankful for it because, like you said, it makes you who you are. But I understand that, you know, I stood against what most people wouldn't dare to stand against. So, you know, I put that in my hat and keep moving forward.
Rick Ankiela is our guest, and Rick, for you, you're not a quitter. You're a battler. You're a guy that doesn't take no for an answer. So when you decided to sit down and write this book, what's the one thing you learned about yourself and all the experiences both on and off the field that you found to be even more important as you started to write the book?
You know, it's interesting. When we started to write the book and I went back and relived the pitching, it really felt like another life. It was strange. It was almost like it was a different life it didn't even feel like me. It's probably strange to hear, but in looking at it, I felt like, you know, for me, the biggest thing, you know, once I went through those pitching struggles, I stopped looking backwards. And I even to this day, that's kind of how I operate. I don't look backwards. I always look forward. Like, what's next? What can I do next? What can I be next? You know, how can I better myself? I feel like a lot of times when we get, you know, as people, we get caught up looking back and say, oh, I should have, I could have, I would have. Well, so what? You know, the water's under the bridge. So for me, there's no point in going back and second guessing. Like, I know at the time I took the information that I had and made the best decision I could, and now I just keep going forward. So I feel like the biggest thing, even after reading the book, it's just a reminder of don't get caught in that, oh, I could have done this or I should have done that 10 years ago or whatever it was, because it's all about what you're going to do today, what you're going to do tomorrow, and it's all about the future for me.
Rick, you wrote the book with Tim Brown from Yahoo, a national baseball writer. He wrote Jim Abbott's book with him as well. What was the process like to come about working with Tim? And again, for a book that's as personal as this one and you're telling all your experiences, what was it like to work with Tim?
Tim is awesome. You know, in the interviewing process, when you're interviewing writers, the biggest thing for me was trying to find somebody that I can trust, especially, like you said, when you're talking about the personal stuff and the baseball stuff, all of it. But being able to trust him and then finding that, you know, where we vibe together and we do well. And I've said this before, I just think he did a phenomenal job of when you sit down and talk about somebody's life and their history and the memories they have and all the stories. And then you say, okay, which ones are we going to put in and which ones are we going to leave out? And how do we make this, you know, flow together and tell the story? I just think that he did a great job with that. And then the other thing I think that he did a phenomenal job with is really just giving the reader the insight and the way he writes it of you being able to feel what I was going through at the time.
Final question for Rick Ankiela. Folks, this is a must-read book for everybody out there. You don't even have to be a baseball fan to be able to appreciate what Rick Ankiela has gone through. We've heard about some of the dark sides. There's some things in the book. Give me one of your best moments where you truly were blessed to be in the game because of the people that you were around, the people that made you laugh, one of the happy times in your life.
I mean, I'll give you two, but the second one was a little bit sweeter. Obviously, just as any kid growing up and your dream is to be a baseball player and the first time you make it to the big leagues is, you know, just that aha moment. But the second time I made it as an outfielder and when I hit that home run, it just felt like, you know, not only for me, but just everybody that had helped me and supported me and had been there for me, et cetera. When I hit that home run, it was almost like I hit it for everybody, you know, not just for me. And it really felt that way. And the support I felt from everybody, the fans, my teammates, my friends, my family, just one of those amazing moments that I will never, ever forget.
Rick Ankiela, again, the book, which is out in April. It is The Phenomenon, Pressure, the Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life. Again, available at Amazon and everywhere, but Amazon right now for pre-order. Rick Ankiela and Tim Brown. Rick, always great to see you around Jupiter and at the Fantasy Camp. Thanks for joining us on Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, and we'll talk again with you soon.
Guys, thank you, guys. See you soon.
Visit the official online shop of the Cardinals at cardinals.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, cardinals.com/shop. Back with more after this on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back to Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren. Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne with you on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. And Joe Strom joins us now on the program to talk Flex Packs.
Joe, a big announcement today with regard to tickets, because the Flex Packs are in play. So why don't you give our listeners a little bit of an idea of how they can be part of the Opening Day festivities?
Well, the most common question is, how can I get tickets for the highest demand game of the year? And that, of course, is opening day, which is always special here in St. Louis. And this year, with us opening up with the Chicago Cubs on a Sunday night, April 2nd, it's even in higher demand. And so what we try to do is come up with a system where it can be equal and fair to everyone on the opportunity to purchase tickets for opening day. And so what we have done is, you can now go to cardinals.com and register to win the opportunity to purchase tickets for opening day, along with two other games throughout the season. So I would recommend people going now to cardinals.com. You'll have 1 week to register, and then we'll have a lottery, and at that point the winners will have an opportunity to purchase tickets along with two other games for opening day.
Joe, it's really a great move on the part of the Cardinals to give fans that opportunity, because, as you mentioned, the opening day ticket's always a tough one, but it's much more available to Cardinal fans now than what it used to be. And you also get some extra games involved, and some pretty good games have been on that schedule in the past.
Yeah, it's we're really trying to make it as fair as possible. And if you think about the old days, where the only way you could purchase tickets was to come down to the stadium and purchase tickets, or you had to mail in your order, now people can purchase online. And what this does is it allows people throughout all of Cardinal Nation to have equal opportunity to purchase those tickets for opening day. And so that's how we came up with this registration system and the lottery system. And we've done this for a couple of years, and I think it's the fair way to do it. And at the end of the day, it allows people to have equal opportunity to purchase tickets for the highest demand game of the year.
And you don't have to be a season ticket holder to be part of this. And I think it also probably lends credence to people maybe getting involved with purchasing more games during the course of the year once they see how this works. Those partial season ticket plans, Joe, have certainly turned out to be a godsend for a lot of fans who can't afford to get to all of them or don't have the time. But you guys have made it very flexible for them to be able to get out and see more Cardinal baseball at a fair price.
You're exactly right. The reality is very few people can attend all 81 games throughout the year. Everyone has many things on their schedule. So we do have a number of partial season ticket plans, and also we have a number of smaller packs, 10-game pack. And that's the thing. If you want to guarantee yourself the opportunity to be at Busch Stadium on opening day, you don't have to go through this registration. You can go right now to cardinals.com and purchase a 10-game pack that would include opening day, nine other games throughout the year, many weekends involved in that pack, and you're guaranteed that you will have tickets to the home opener. So you don't necessarily have to wait and hope that you're the winner of the lottery. You can go ahead and purchase tickets at this point, and just go to cardinals.com and do that now.
How are you pacing with respect to last season as far as advanced purchases? I know that's always been a real strong point for the Cardinals in the past. Has that changed at all?
You know, it's been a very, very strong off season to date. Season ticket renewals have come in very, very strong. We'll be in the mid-90s on season ticket renewals this year. I think fans are looking forward to this upcoming season. And even the individual tickets, which would be the all-inclusive tickets that are on sale, have sold very, very well to this point. Again, we talk about opening day and purchasing tickets, but if you want to go ahead and purchase an individual ticket for any game right now, including the Cub dates, you can go to cardinals.com and purchase your all-inclusive ticket at this time.
Joe Strone is with us. And, Joe, one of the things that I've watched over the last couple, 3 years, the schedule maker has not been good to the Cardinals with regard to prime teams and prime times and prime dates. But yet, and still, Cardinal fans still find a way to come. And I'm wondering, even for you, how much is interleague play when you have teams that most fans haven't seen a great deal of or don't know a lot about? How much is that interfered with how your growth as far as being able to sell tickets across the board?
Yeah, I think interleague play, I think generally across the board, fans like it. Attendance is usually very, very good on the interleague games. I think a lot of it depends upon which division you're playing and who's coming into your market. Of course, when we play the Royals on a squeeze week with two games in Kansas City, two games in St. Louis, that's been very, very popular. And, of course, that series this year will be in the first week of August. But I think it all depends upon when you play the teams from the other division and which opponents you're playing. This year, I think the interleague schedule is very attractive. As I said, we have the Royals in August, but we also have the Red Sox coming in this year. And we have Toronto coming in as well, which is a very, very, very good team. So I think this year, I think fans are excited about the teams that are coming into Busch Stadium for the interleague games.
All right, the Flex Pack is in play. It starts today, where you can go online and register for opening day tickets, not to mention some other very good games on the schedule. So, Joe, give us the important dates in the month of February that people can pay attention to with regard to the Flex Packs and also the Premium Flex Pack as well as the opening day Flex Pack.
Well, I think the key date is the registration is now open and will run till next Wednesday the 8th, so it's very important to go on and register in the next week. We will contact winners on the 9th or the 10th, and then the actual on sale for the winners will be the Tuesday, the week of Tuesday, February 14th. That entire week we will have some on sale. You also mentioned the Premium Flex Pack. What that basically is you can sign up to be the first in line to purchase the Cub weekend, which is in May, May 12th, 13th, 14th, and we will have an online registration for that as well, and the winners of that will be able to purchase any of those three Cub dates along with two other games throughout the year. So, again, we're trying to put that high-demand weekend in as many people's hands as possible and make it fair, and so that's something else that you can sign up for at this time as well.
Cardinals.com is where you can find all the information you need about tickets, not just for the Flex Pack, but certainly the entire 2017 season. Joe Strom, as always, it's good to visit with you, sir, and look forward to seeing you down in spring training here in the very near future.
Well, I'm looking forward to baseball starting, and the home opener on April 2nd will be here soon.
Thank you to Joe. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this edition of Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Wrapping up this week's edition of Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, presented by Ameren, Chris Ramey, and Mike Claiborne with you on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network. Don't strike out with your Valentine this year. Treat your sweetheart to dinner and a Cardinals game with all-inclusive tickets featuring excellent seats, a full buffet, and complimentary beer and soda. This week only, games in April are available starting at just $55. Get your all-inclusive tickets today at Cardinals.com. What fun we had today on the program. Thank you to all of our guests, John Mozeliak, Derek Gould, Rick Horton, Bob Nightingale, Carlos Martinez, and Rick Ankiel. Thank you also to Joe Strom for swinging by to tell us about Flex Packs. That'll do it for us this week. Just a couple of weeks, we will be together in Jupiter, Florida, as we get ready for pitchers and catchers to report on February the 14th. Until then, Chris Raby saying, have a great rest of your night. Thank you to our executive producer tonight, Alex Ferrario. Thank you to my co-host, Mike Claiborne, and again, all of our guests. This has been Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day, as we count down and down to the Cardinals and Cubs opening up at Busch Stadium on Sunday Night Baseball. We'll talk to you next week for another edition of the show right here on the St. Louis Cardinals Radio Network.